This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers
since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
Right now that time, 8:18, you're tuned to WGNS. And this morning we're talking lawns and gardens. And we have master gardeners with us in studio, Catherine Bond, Sue Alexander, Carol Wood, and Lynn Reynolds. And I just added an extra name there, so...
Sue's out there listening.
She's listening this morning. Here in spirit. So anyway, what is happening and what is going on at the UT Agriculture Extension Service this time of year, and what are folks talking about?
Sure. Well, I think everybody's talking about the weather today. We've had this heat wave, it seems, and I know we're all itching to get out there in our gardens and start planting things. So we're going to talk a little bit today about what you can plant. Tree Day is coming up on March 19th, I believe, or 21st is when you pick up your trees. You should have ordered those. And we'll talk a little bit about some planting techniques.
And the weather has really changed. I mean, it's going to be 82 today. It's going to feel great out there.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like it's time to start seeing flowers and planting vegetables and all that stuff.
It's everybody gets itchy right about now when we have these things. And then you put your tomatoes in and then you watch them freeze to death a month from now and you go buy more.
Do they think we're going to have another freeze?
Oh, yes. The freeze, last frost day in Middle Tennessee is April 26th. So are we going to have another freeze? Likely.
Yeah, that's... That's no good for plants.
No, that is no good for plants. But, I did, given our last show, go out and stick my thermometer in the ground this morning. And my raised beds are 70 degrees.
Wow.
And the ground itself is 60 degrees. And so all of those temps are really appropriate for planting.
And again, our phone number, if you want to text in any questions, 615-893-1450. Now, one of the questions this morning, what vegetables can be safely planted outdoors in Middle Tennessee during the month of March?
Well, not cantaloupe or
peppers.
Yeah, none of those. There are some that really are not going to be happy with you if you go ahead and put them in too early. With those temperatures dip down to below 45, there are some things like cantaloupe that are going to be really unhappy with you. So don't start a lot of those vegetables too soon, or if you do, put something like a cantaloupe with row covers on them. Wait for a lot of the vegetables.
But there's a lot of cool weather crops that will benefit from being in the ground right now. So I'm looking, there's a calendar that UT Hort puts out called the Tennessee Home Fruit and Vegetable Garden Calendar. And in it, it tells you when to plant things by the month. And so direct seed mustard, kale, and collards. You can start some transplant. It's a good time to plant dormant trees. You've got a little bit more time before they leaf out, so it's best to plant them when they're in the ground. And so a lot of your peas, potatoes, those kinds of things. So you can get your garden started.
How about things like broccoli, cauliflower? Are they just not going to thrive because of the summer heat?
I can't remember the exact number of days for broccoli and cauliflower, but once a transplant goes in, there's a set number of days to harvest. So if you look at the seed packs or the seed labels, it will tell you how many days. So you don't want to harvest broccoli in July. And you don't want to harvest broccoli probably in June here.
Let me pick up on one thing that she just said about the planting of the trees. If you have a seedling or thinking about planting a tree, now is a great, perfect time to do that. If you didn't plant your young tree back in October, November, December, planting it now before mid-March, you want to plant a young tree when the temperature is below 75 degrees. So now is a perfect time to plant that young tree because it's not above 75 degrees yet.
And somebody just texted in spinach as well. So I've never tried to grow spinach.
And there are some cultivars of spinach that tolerate the heat a little bit better. I think it's Malabar.
Which is a very unusual spinach. It's not.
But it tastes like spinach. It looks a little different, but you can actually grow it through the summer.
I don't know how spinach grows. Is it on top of the ground? What is it?
Yeah.
Like a big
Like a head of lettuce, essentially.
It's a leaf. Yeah.
Does it take much to, you know, clean off and cook, or what do you do with it?
You ever picked up an uncleaned thing of spinach in the grocery store and rinsed it for 5 or 6 minutes?
About the same
That's
thing.
About the same deal.
Okay.
It might be a little less sandy in our soils, and it might be because it's homegrown. It might be a little easier to clean. Hard to say.
You know, I don't think I've ever had freshly grown spinach either.
Oh, it's great.
You can taste the difference.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's one to try right now, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another question here. It says, for gardeners who want tomatoes and peppers later, when should seeds be started if we're starting them indoors?
Now. You really, should start those now. You know, and once those seedlings pop up, there's going to be a couple of steps in there where you might want to transplant them. We call that up potting. So you pot or pot up. So you move that seedling into a little bit bigger pot. And, you know, when you go to your center to buy your tomatoes, they're in all sizes, as you know. So mostly we can talk about, you know, what size. I prefer the smaller tomatoes plants when I buy them. Just because I think they might do a little bit better than buying the ones that are $15 that are already, in a 1 gallon pot.
So do you get more out of the smaller ones when you buy them smaller?
It's not so much the harvest yield. It's more the health of the plant. And we want to kind of get, let me just jump right into that idea. If you're buying starts, in other words, if they're in a cell pack of six or a quart, you want to take at least one of those out of the cell pack just gently, you know, push from the bottom and lift it partly out and take a look and see if those roots look nice and white. They should not be brown. They should be white. That means they're all alive and happy. And if they're brown, then move to another one. And if you're just not finding fresh, well, you know, it just means they've been around, they're pot bound a bit, whatever. And the other thing with response to that specific question is tomatoes have a wide variation on days to harvest. So if you're looking at planting tomatoes so that you can yield these tomatoes at different times throughout our growing season, look at their days to harvest. Some are going to take 80 days or 90 days. Some are going to take 60 days. I don't know if there's any even longer than that. But that's one way. A rule of thumb is you don't want to plant anything in the heat of this summer because it's just stressful on the plant. You want to get them in at a time where their roots have a chance to feel nice and cozy in that soil for a little bit while they start to settle in and grow.
And again, we're talking lawns and gardens this morning. We have Master Gardeners in studio with us today. And today we have got in studio Catherine Bond, Carol Wood, and Lynn Reynolds. And another question here asks, what lawn maintenance task should Middle Tennessee homeowners prioritize as we move into later March?
Well, I know everyone likes to think about fertilizer, but here's the bottom rule on fertilizing your lawn. Your grass has to be actively growing, and so most lawns here are either, if they're turf lawns, are either Bermuda, Zoysia, or fescue. So fescue lawn is green right now. It winters over very nicely. It's a cool weather grass, which makes it good, really pretty in the fall and the spring, and not so pretty in the summer. And then Bermuda and Zoysia are your hot weather grasses, so they look best in the summertime. So if you're going to feed those lawns, make sure particularly for Bermuda and Zoysia, they've greened up before you do anything like that.
Okay. And then another question kind of regarding the frost. It says, what flowers or annuals can be planted now, and will they tolerate the occasional late frost that you mentioned?
Sure. So pansies, for sure. You can still plant those. Those really good go
violets,
to June.
Yeah, violets. All the violets.
Snapdragons, beautiful plant. Sweet William.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Sweet William is, you see it a lot in the springtime. It's got a red or a white blossom on it. It's sort of a go-to for early spring. You'll, if anybody has plants out and I haven't checked anywhere, you'll see that plant. And that one's also a perennial, but it blooms really early.
I think also all the violas, right? Yeah. In addition to the actual violets themselves, but all those violas, the pansy cousins, and possibly things like foxglove might tolerate that. I don't see a lot of that here. Foxglove is a shade dweller. It's not native here that I'm aware of. None of these actually that we've mentioned are native plants. These are all bedding plants that you'll find, you know, in the nursery. A native columbine right now, great time to put these in or seed them. And if you can find, because those columbines will do well throughout the, they'll overwinter even.
Allergies.
Bless you.
Yes.
Here's another question that says, I live in Shelbyville, and I think it's a slightly higher elevation than Rutherford County, and I was wondering what time of year should I plant sunflowers? You don't see a lot of people planting sunflowers, do you?
It's a good seed start. Yeah. It's an easy seed to start. Go ahead.
Oh, a little bit later.
Yeah, so I think, Lynn, sunflowers last year went around May or April.
I have seeded a lot of sunflowers throughout this land, and I have been late many times and watched other people's sunflowers bloom while mine are still, like, growing to get old enough to bloom. So my feeling is sunflower seeds really need an early start. This might be a little early, but if you're just passionate about having a beautiful sunflower garden, I'd say, you know, go ahead and sow your sunflowers, some of them maybe in a week or two, and then maybe do a second sowing into April. You know, you get a lot of sunflowers in a seed packet. They don't transplant with much. They don't really love to be moved around. They're very shallow rooted. And, you know, play with it.
And if you've got a bird feeder that you've had sunflower seeds in,
you're going
to
get them.
You'll see when they start to germinate because they come up en masse.
It's like the kudzu, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of, you know. But easier to control, but yes. Yeah.
Here's another question that was texted in. Are there particular native plants that do especially well when planted in early spring?
I think right now there's the black-eyed Susan and the echinacea, which are the coneflowers, can do well. I'm pretty sure our black-eyed Susans are... that we sowed last year are already up and green.
Leafing out. Leafing out.
So I think those two are good chances to tolerate.
The native columbine will be popping up. Get it in the start seeding native columbine. I can't say enough about native columbine because it's my favorite flower. If you're starting them from seed, things like Joe Pye weed and... goldenrod, these are the sort of, they have a sort of a checkered reputation, but they're just fabulous foundation plants to put in a native garden, and they're tough guys, you know, they can take it.
And again, our number 615-893-1450, and this question asks, how can homeowners protect young plants from unexpected cold snaps or late freezes, especially throughout March?
By having mulch around the plants on the ground. That's one way, definitely.
You can throw a cover over them.
Like a plastic or canvas?
Yeah, like
or
take
what?
An old sheet. Yeah, and or if it's something specific, like if you have dared to put in vegetable starts or tender plants, you know, you can take cottage cheese containers or things like that and just literally just, or pots for that matter. You're just trying to create an air pocket that's not quite as cold as the outside. If they're potted, just bring them in close to the house.
Okay.
The house itself will give a thermal protection.
Sometimes when I've had a young plant that was like expensive and delicate, I've made a little cardboard box around it, or I've thrown a piece of burlap, which is very air permeable, over it. Or I've mounded, when I've had a stand of plants that was just, could survive just barely at the edge of our temperatures, and I knew it was going to get cold, I put my pea stand around it, and I mounded up leaves or straw around it all around the winter. Or if I knew there was going to be a big freeze, I mounded up a whole bunch of leaves or straw around the plant to protect it, because I knew there was going to be a really big cold snap coming. So leaves or straw are very good insulators.
Yeah, so, you know, insulate with what you have. If you do use something that you can't see through, and it's not like a plastic cottage cheese container or something, you know, keep an eye on that. You know, keep an eye. You don't want them to roast, because during the day the temperatures might come up. And so you don't want to cook your plants either.
That would be equally bad, I guess.
Yes, yes, unless you want an early harvest for dinner.
Another question, is March the right time to apply the pre-emergent herbicide to prevent crabgrass and other weeds?
Yes, so...
I know you said something about that this time of year, too.
Yes, yeah, so those broadleaves that are annuals, like we already have some annuals that you see that people determine as weeds. Henbit, that's the one with the purple flower on it. Those are already prevalent. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that just, you know, your whole spring lawn. Now, a lot of those die back when it gets hot.
Like henbit.
But, you know, yes, go ahead and use your pre-emergent for those crabgrass. It will help.
Dandelion. I mean, we have dandelions that bloom already in some of our parts of our garden. So, you know, if it's already blooming, it's a little late, but you'll get the next round of seeds on pre-emergent. We did pre-emergent probably 2 weeks ago on our lawn.
2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah. Yes.
Okay, and Carol, you said there's some things, some events that are coming up as
well.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, just an FYI, Tennessee Tree Day is coming up. You should have ordered your trees. And we've got a plant swap that's very exciting that's coming up in April. Help me with the date.
That is April the 25th. It's a free community come, bring a plant, get another plant. It's a free community plant swap on April the 25th at the Lane Agri Park Ag Center from 9 to 11 a.m. It's a really fun event.
There is Earth Day coming up, which we'll be hosting a Ask a Master Gardener table there to support Earth Day. And Agriculture Day, if you've got small children and you haven't done this with your kids, I would definitely recommend it. It's at the Agri Center on, I have to look at
April the 11th.
Thank you.
It's a free family day. It's really fun. It's a family
it's
morning.
It's fun. There's all kinds of things for children to do related to agriculture.
And lots of different, it's not just about agriculture. It's about, you know, how electricity goes through the they're going to see all kinds of fun
all
stuff.
All kinds of things.
Fire trucks are going to be there. You know.
Yeah, it's a great thing for kids.
So sorry, you had a question.
That's going to be at Lane Agri Park, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
We have another event coming up May 2nd. If you're looking for something fun and unusual to do with your mom, it's May 2nd, the Saturday before Mother's Day. It is a Victorian flowers talk and tea on the language of flowers back in the Victorian era. It'll be at Lane Agri Park. It's a fundraiser event for the Master Gardeners, and there'll be a notice up about that.
So during the Victorian times, did they talk a lot different about agriculture and flowers and all
there
of that?
There were secret meaning coded into different kinds of flowers. When you sent someone a bouquet, it could mean, I send you sympathy on a very sad event. I have a strong admiration for you. I am deeply in love with you. I never want to see you again. Different meanings.
Those would be interesting flowers to get.
Yeah. All black.
Yeah. You don't like me. I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, this is so, what a sweet thing to do. I think this is just a lovely event. Is it our first one we've ever done?
It's our first, it's a fundraiser for our educational events. All the money will go to our fundraisers, things like our children's. We have two kinds of children's camps we do in the summer. It'll go to those kinds of things, our children's fundraisers.
And we do events. And we do support, you know, like our concession stand at the Farmer's Market, which is run by volunteers from Master Gardeners. All the money we raise goes to scholarships for 4-H camp. Okay. You know, so we spread our wings as best we can into the community, in addition to wanting to contribute, you know, knowledge and labor.
Sounds good. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll get to even more questions. And again, our number 615-893-1450. You can text questions in right now. And it is 8:38. We'll be right back right after this short break. And once more today in studio, we have Master Gardeners Catherine Bond, Carol Wood, and Lynn Reynolds.
It's so great.
Local farmers, local meats, vegetables, and other produce at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market.
Bundle up and make your way every Friday at Lane Agri Park.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin. It's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle Right Tennessee.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Thanks to Sharing Change, MTE members are making a difference just by rounding up their monthly bills to support local nonprofits. See how it works at SharingChange.org.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come see us for all your cold weather needs. We have a great selection of Carhartt clothing to keep you warm, and as always, our warm muck boots to keep your feet warm. We have anything you would need to keep yourself warm or your animals warm. Please come see us. And if you're trying to feed your feathered friends through the cold months, we also have a wide selection of bird seed. That's the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh, but all of our fish you can either get blackened or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt, and either way you do it is just out of this world. I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting you to come do business with our family. We are delighted to have just celebrated our 35th anniversary, and that is all thanks to you, our wonderful customers. We are pet lovers too, and we personally select every treat and toy, ensuring it's the same quality that we give our own pets. Stop by Animal City and get the best quality pet gear in town. Animal City is at 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
CBS News Brief. The Iran war spills over. Iranian drones fell on Azerbaijan today as Israel staged new strikes on western Iran. Correspondent Matt Gutman is in Tel Aviv.
We're being told that the longer this war lasts, the more it favors Iran, because for the regime, the bar is super low. For them, victory merely means survival.
Reporter Robert Berger says they're getting a breather in Jerusalem.
The missile fire and the drone fire from Lebanon and from Iran is not as bad as before. So actually, the home front command has eased some restrictions.
Gas prices in the U.S. are up about 6 cents today to an average of $3.25 for a gallon of regular. Gas Buddies, Patrick DeHaan.
I do think the pace of increases is starting to slow. Oil prices have cooled off slightly. They're not seeing the significant escalations that we were earlier this week.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You've got 1 minute to make a difference, and Rocky the Raccoon's got the know-how.
Rocky's going digital today, folks.
He's smart. This is the Recycled Minute, powered by RecycleRightTN.com.
You know those old phones you've got sitting in drawers that you don't know what to do with? Maybe cords or gadgets containing metals that could actually be reused. Drop them off at any electronics recycler or city collection event. Don't just throw them away to be sent to the landfill. And don't throw them in the wrong recycling box either. For electronic recycling drop-off locations, visit RecycleRightTN.com. And closing it out, another great tune.
Got old paint, you don't know what to do. Don't pour it down the drain. Ooh. Rocky the Raccoon knows just what's right. Check the website, keep it clean, keep it bright. RecycleRightTN.com.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:43. This morning we have Master Gardeners in studio with us today. We have Catherine Bond, Carol Wood, and Lynn Reynolds, all part of the UT-TSU Agriculture Extension Service. And, of course, the Lane Agri Park, that's on John R. Rice Boulevard. And tomorrow, what, starting at 8 o'clock, is the Winter Spring Farmers Market.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning.
If you haven't checked that out, go check it out. There's good stuff there.
And here's another question we had. How can homeowners determine whether their lawn needs aeration or is it detaching this spring?
Dethatching.
Okay. So what is dethatching?
Dethatching was you go in and remove the dead grass. It becomes matted, particularly in Bermuda. It's probably more important than in if you have a Bermuda lawn or zoysia lawn. It just promotes growth. So for aeration, typically I like to aerate in the fall right before an overseed, especially if you have turf like fescue. So it depends on whether you think your lawn is compacted or not. So if you've never aerated it or if it feels hard when you step on it, it might be time to aerate it. And definitely, I think dethatching, especially Bermuda and zoysias, every maybe 3 years or so.
So to do that, do you literally get out there and pull
you either
the
rent
grass
a machine or you hire someone?
They have, you either hire somebody to come and do it because it is there's a tool that it literally pulls it up and kind of brings it up like tufts. And it isn't, as Carol mentioned, you don't need to do it annually. It's something that kind of, as you know, it's happening. You know, it's arrived. It might not be even every 3 years, depending on your lawn.
But you'll know something is wrong when you look at the grass, right?
It's more a stepping on it kind of thing. When you walk on it and you feel it's absolutely just thick and hard, and you can't feel like any spaces between the grass blades. Like you don't feel any. There's no space.
Spunginess
when
no
you walk
spring.
On it. No spring when you walk on it.
And if you leave it like that, then you're going to have just dead patches in your lawn.
Well, it just means it's tougher for those roots to expand and get yourself into a really thick, lush lawn, which is what you need here in the summers to survive the heat. So it's sort of preventative for having that lush, beautiful yard that we all crave.
And one other question was, have you got any ideas on collecting rainwater that you can actually use to water your lawn? Or is there a pump you can buy to use that if you collect it in barrels?
Well, there are rain barrel water kits. And so it's pretty easy to make your own rain barrel out of, jugs or those huge pickle barrels. I think there's somebody in Tennessee that gives those things away. I think they're 50 gallons or whatnot. So you can buy the kit, attach it to your gutter, and actually collect rainwater. We have a 90-gallon rainwater collector in our backyard, and that pretty much waters all of our pots. And it's amazing how much water comes off your roof. So it's really a good idea to collect your rainwater and use it because it's not chlorinated and, has the natural elements in it that plants expect to get.
Yeah, it's so rain barrels. In fact, the water district, I think, does a rain barrel workshop like annually or maybe twice a year, and in that you pay a certain fee for attending the workshop and learning about it, and as part of that fee you get a rain barrel.
Oh, okay.
And you know, typically they cost $100 and up to buy one, maybe $75 if you can find something on sale. And so that's a really great program. I may not have it attached to the correct water authority, but I think if you Google it, you just, you know, rain barrel workshops, you'll find something about that. And, you know, we use our rain barrel for a combination of things. You can gravity feed in question on how to use it to water a lawn. It could be tricky. The pressure isn't high, so yeah, you might wind up having to get pretty high tech and pump, but it's great for gravity feed of water to a plant bed. I fill the watering can. I use it for my bird feeders, for the water baths. I use it outdoors for the dog's water dishes. So, you know, it just comes in. It's a free water source, and the water looks beautiful.
Yeah, and those water pumps are pretty cheap. I've seen them about $25 or so. You can get a nicer one that, I guess, the pressure's a little stronger, but they're pretty cheap.
You know, yeah. I guess I never really thought about putting a pond pump inside a water barrel, but it's definitely doable for sure.
Yeah. Another question, and I'm sure you get this question a lot, when should homeowners start mowing their lawn? Is there like a certain height that people should be looking for?
My height this time of the year is 4 inches. This is on fescue. I cut it last week just to clean it up a little bit. There's not much growth on it, so you really don't need to cut your lawn until you get spring growth. And you'll notice that the Bermuda will green up. And my guess is it's probably going to green up now and then maybe get another hit on it because frost will turn it back to brown, make it dormant. So once it greens up, I'd give it a cut. Some people will cut their Bermuda a little shorter before it does that.
I'm going to step in here for the environment, and I'm going to say give it a no-mow March. Let it sit tight. Nobody's lawns are very tall at this point. They may look a little scruffy, but you've got a lot of insects hibernating in there, beneficial insects, insects that are bird food and doing their thing. And so if you can give it a rest for at least another month, let those things hatch out. And because they've been spending their winter, it's just another way to help support the robustness of our native world.
And a good excuse to not cut the grass.
And a fine excuse. You can say Lynn Reynolds said, don't cut.
Here's another one. Is March the right time to start pruning trees and shrubs?
So I'll take a stab at this one. You can prune trees anytime there's damage. Okay, so if something is broken, it is okay to prune that anytime to remove that damaged wood. In terms of yes, other than pruning, let's say I want to shape up my crepe myrtles, I could begin to prune those now or wait till they just start to come out. So it depends on really why you're pruning. So if you're pruning for the health of the plant, anything that's dead or diseased, take off. For bushes, it's a little trickier because you need to know what it blooms on. If it blooms on new wood, you don't prune it now.
Okay, interesting.
Because, you know, it's like some of the hydrangeas, for example, will bloom on new growth. So if you prune it now, you've just cut off all that new growth. And so you'll have very few blooms. So do a little research on that. Figure out what plants you have. Roses definitely get pruned down pretty low, 8 inches to the ground about right now. So really sort of depends. But yes, February, March are good times to prune.
And pruning is an art. So if you don't, if you have a pair of shears and you just like to cut stuff, take a look at how to prune carefully, how to prune correctly. There are, and different plants you prune, but essentially you're always looking to prune at the just above a new growth point.
Okay.
As opposed to in the middle of a stem, because that middle of the stem is going to die back to the growth point. So if you're not sure, come on out and ask a master gardener.
Yeah.
And let us know what plant it is.
That would be smart.
Yes. If you have checked online or you have checked with the extension office and you know it's an old, blooms on old growth, and you are going to prune it yourself, and you know what you're doing, you've watched some videos, you're like, okay, I can do this, go ahead. It may say go ahead and do this before it blooms, which may mean, okay, let's do this week before those little buds start out. I'm working on pruning a wisteria, I'm working on pruning a red bud, I'm working on pruning some trees, I'm working on cutting down some grasses that I left tall over the winter to be places for food and habitat for birds. But I know that they were things that I should be pruning now, that they're not things that I should wait. But I also have some trees that I'm like, and some rhododendrons that I'm definitely waiting on, because I know that they bloom on new growth. So I'm like, okay, these I'm waiting on.
And those will be in the fall when it cools down again. There is a price to pay to the plant if you're pruning in heat, because it stresses the plant a bit. So like Carol was saying, if it's damaged or diseased anytime all through, better to take it off. But if it's going to be a spring or a fall pruning, you know, you want to do it when the temperatures start to drop cooler again.
And one of the other questions we had, let me see if I can find it. What should I be doing right now to prepare my flower beds and landscape borders for growing season?
Great. First of all, weed. Get out the weeds that are popping up. Start with that as your first line of defense. And
I think it depends too, like what kind of edging you have on those borders. I prefer what's called live edging. And so this is a really good time to live edge your borders. Basically, that means you take a shovel and you cut the turf. If it's between the bed and the grass, you cut the turf and you take that little bit of dirt and sling it up into your garden, weed out the grass, whatever. So that's something you could do now. It really makes your lawn edges look crisp. It's sort of like edging, but unfortunately you have to do it by hand. And so just, yeah, like Lynn says, removing, if you've still left plant matter there, you might want to go ahead and cut it in the ground. It's okay to leave the roots. They hold the soil. They decompose. You don't have to pull every perennial or annual root out of the ground. I would recommend it for weeds, though, and because, you know, you don't want those things to recur.
Yeah. If you think all the leaves and that have just fallen over the winter are just kind of yucky looking now that it's spring, take a big metal bucket and put all the leaves that fell in the beds over the winter in a big metal bucket, and use your weed eater and just grind them up so that they're better, smaller mulch bits, and put them back in the bed so that you've got a finer mulch that you've just added back into the bed from all those leaves that fell in your bed over the winter. And you've speeded up the decomposition process of all those leaves that fell in your bed over the winter. And that's real nice. You've added extra compost into your bed, and it doesn't look like big leaves sitting all over the top of your bed.
Yeah, yeah, and that's wonderful. And the idea that you used to turn the soil is an old idea. So you know, plants, we actually, the soil is less vital when it's disturbed. So, yes, you can turn an inch or two of it, but all the things that are going to eat up all those wonderful, the microbes and stuff that are in there, the earthworms that are busy right now, we can leave those relatively undisturbed. If it's a brand new bed, then that's a different question. But if these are beds you've been planting in, like Carol said, the annuals that are dying, you can chop up, take the trowel, if they're right where you're going to put another plant and they're keeping you from planting, just chop into those root systems and loosen all that up, and that'll become more nutrients, just like these leaves. All of that is just going to be free fertilizer, really, yeah, when you get right down to it.
So one thing would be, take a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and spend a half hour outside enjoying what you've got, however big it is. Do an examination. Walk around your garden, however big it is, or your patio. Look at every tree and bush. Look at what you've got and really look at it and see, is anything damaged? Is anything diseased? So that, take a picture. Is anything diseased or damaged? Know what you've got. Does anything look damaged or diseased? And it'll give you ideas, like, where do I want to put something new? And is anything damaged or diseased? So kind of look at it before spring.
Or where do I want to move something? This is the appropriate time to move plants.
And as we close this morning, we only have like a minute left. So as we close this morning again, the Winter Spring Farmers Market's tomorrow. And if anybody would like to learn more about becoming a master gardener, what do they do?
Well, they can go on to the UT Extension website. We have definitely information there. And also I want to mention that if you're interested in our 2026 Spring Equinox Workshop, that's going to be available on, I think, April 18th. It starts at 9 in the morning till 12:30. And we'll be talking about soil blocking, cultivating dahlias, converting turf to garden beds. And the cost is $10. And you can find the link to that on the UT Extension website.
Sounds good. Again, with us this morning, Catherine Bond, Carol Wood, and Lynn Reynolds, all master gardeners and a part of the UTTSU Agriculture Extension Service of Rutherford County. Thank you all for joining us.
Happy gardening.
Happy gardening.
South Central Bank has two CD specials that will help your money grow. South Central Bank has a 5-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 4.15% or a 25-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 3.8%. Two great ways to put your money to work. You choose the term that works best for you. $500 minimum balance to obtain the APY. Stop by any of our convenient South Central Bank locations today and take advantage of our two great rates. South Central Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.